Praise God. We're bound to thank God, verse 3, always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. That's a good report, isn't it? So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is the manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be accounted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. For when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have two destinies in this chapter. One of rest and glory, and one destined to flaming fire and everlasting destruction. Two destinies. The old song says, which way will you take? Which way will you take as you carry your heavy load? Which way will you take? Which way will you take when you get to the forks of the road? We stand there almost every service. We stand there almost every day. Somebody has to make choices. Amen. You remember? You remember that boy that I saw in that state car headed west on the Western Kentucky Parkway? And I thought, where are you going, boy? How did it start? Oh, I knew in my own heart that he was headed for Eddyville. Amen. That's the main prison in that direction. Eddyville. From Kentucky convicts. How did it start? Amen. It start with a smoke of a joint of marijuana, and then a snort of coke, and then pretty soon you developed an appetite that's 40 times stronger than any hunger you ever had for food, and you're hooked. And then after a while, you'll steal from your own mother, rob your own daddy, break into your own house, and nothing is precious anymore. There was a time we didn't even have to lock the church. Even the sinners feared God. Amen. And they wouldn't desecrate the house of God. Not so anymore. That strong hunger for drugs That strong aching, that pain, they call it, when they need a fix. Amen. My God, how did you get started? I know. It was just to be smart with the boys, just to go along with the crowd, just to look big. Yeah, a sense of belonging. Boy, I only been sick 3 times on nicotine. 1 time on a cigar and Uncle Lawrence's shivery. Amen, and the world started turning around. Another time I made me a pipe out of a green hickory nut and stuck a walnut stem in it. And Buck Anderson, who had made a trip to the outside, John, amen, said, "Come down here, Junior, and I'll fill it up." And he took a sack of Bull Durham and filled up my hickory nut pipe with a walnut stem hollered out, sticking in it. And I puffed and I puffed and I puffed. Amen. There wasn't no little steam engine any happier than I was as I puffed my little hickory nut pipe. And pretty soon the world started going around. And then I got down on the ground to hold on to it, kind of stop it from turning. Amen. And it just kept going around and around. Amen. Oh, yeah, I felt a real sense of belonging when I tried Udell Martin's tobacco and Leland's tobacco and Harlan's tobacco and some of the other guys, and I found the sweetest, mildest little chew that I could find and done a whole lot of spitting and ate a green apple for lunch along with the rest of the lunch. Amen. I come in to the back of the school. Teacher said, "Junior, what's wrong?" And I said, "I ate a green apple and I'm sick." It wasn't a green apple. It was that sweet twist that I was chewing and done a whole lot of spitting, but it already done its dirt. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. The cigar at Uncle Lawrence's shivery and the hickory nut pipe as a little boy in elementary school. Amen. And a little further along in about the 7th or 8th grade, chewing a little chew along with the rest of the guys, I felt a real sense of belonging. Until I vomited out my insides. Amen. That's the nearest I ever come to being high. I never had the habit of smoking, chewing, or dipping. Amen. From that day to this. Amen. Hallelujah. I've never been drunk in my life. Amen. I don't smoke, I don't chew, don't cuss, I don't chase women. Amen. But brother, amen, it's going to take a little more than that to sign your destiny and seal your future. Praise God. Amen. Oh, yes. 2 destinies. Where are you going, boy? How did it start? When did you take the first step? And why did you keep walking? And look where you are. You're in the back seat of that car that only the driver can unlock the doors. And there's bars between you and the driver. And you're on the way to Eddyville. How did it start? The old Chinese proverb says that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Amen. Aaron Burr, where did it start? Your journey downward. Oh, you made it big in politics. Fought a duel with Hamilton and killed him. Amen. And you even tried to foment a revolution in the United States of America and involve Mexico, and then became almost an exile and died almost an exile. How did it start, Aaron Burr? Your ill-fated journey through politics in the upper echelons of Washington, D.C., in the early days, the formative days of the United States of America. Amen. Oh, yes. There was revival going on at Princeton. God was moving. Amen. The evangelist had preached his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and became famous as he preached it far and near. Amen. And my, what a revival was going on. And you were a nephew or close kin to the evangelist, Jonathan Edwards. You struggle with that still, small voice within. And you struggle with that crowd, amen, that was beckoning to you to go the way of all flesh. And then Aaron Burr, young and still in college, a Bible school, if you will, you flung open your window, and with a voice of determination you said, "Goodbye, God." Aaron Burr sealed his doom and his destiny, determined to leave God out of his life. Amen. You can't reject God and get by. Amen. Listen to this. Amen. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Hallelujah. That's the destiny of the children of God. Rest. Amen. Listen to this. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and admired in all them that believe, because our testimony was believed among you, was believed in that day. Hallelujah. And here's what's going to happen. Enoch has a little to say about it. Amen. In Jude, he said, I think I've got it marked here somewhere. Enoch the seventh from Adam, amen, verse 14 of Jude. Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." That is the destiny of the saints, rest and glory. Amen. And we ride in with him when he comes on that white horse. Amen. But for the lost, listen, he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Flaming fire, everlasting destruction. Amen. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe. For our testimony among you was believed in that day. Tonight, right while the preaching's going on, we make choices. Amen. Some have heard so much gospel, we're hardened to it. We've become skillful at rationalizing away conviction, talking ourselves out of it. Amen. But I want to be among those the Bible speaks of being counted worthy. Amen. Verse 11, he says, "Wherefore we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy." Worthy of this calling. Praise God. Worthy, verse 5. Listen to this. "Which the manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be accounted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer." How many like to be accounted worthy? Raise your hand tonight. Let me be worthy of the price you paid for me. Worthy of the kingdom, praise God. Worthy of God's good pleasure, verse 11 again, "and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness." Worthy of his good pleasure and worthy of his goodness. Amen. And worthy of that work of faith and power. Amen. Why don't every church have that work of faith and power? Why is not every church open for the move of the Spirit of God? Why isn't every so-called Pentecostal church open for the work of faith and power and open for the work of the Spirit of God? Because they're not worthy. Amen. Worthy of the work of faith and power. Worthy of the name of the Lord glorified in you. Praise God. That the name of our Lord, verse 12, Jesus Christ, may be glorified in you. Think of it. The light of God so shines through us that Christ is glorified in us. When we walk down the street, people feel something. When we sit down in a restaurant anywhere in the country, people know we're different. Amen. Up on a little old village up in North Carolina on the other side of the Smokies over around Cherokee. Amen. A man comes walking up to us from out of nowhere. We're up there going through that mock village and seeing all those things, you know. Amen. And he said, y'all are Christians, aren't you? Jim Lawson walked in that hospital. Amen. Down in Alabama. And he said there was faith generating from that place. Praise God. That's God shining through. Hallelujah. There's some folks that the power and presence of God just juvenates from them, praise God, and fills the air and reeks through the atmosphere. Amen. In a mighty way. Hallelujah. What is it? It's Jesus Christ glorifying His name in us because we sought Him. We walk before God. We lay on our face before Him. Amen. I dreamed the other night that I was in this church and I was living in it. And when I went in my room, I built a fire. Amen. And of all places, I built it in my pillows on the bed. And somebody was concerned about the fire that I'd built in my pillows. Amen. And they were just shining, burning away. Amen. I said, you'll have to worry about setting a house on fire. Amen. With that fire in my pillows. And I'll confess, when I woke up having such a strange, little bit out of the ordinary dream like that, amen, that I had a time figuring it out. And then suddenly I realized, amen, that I have what you call a prayer pillow. Everywhere I go, I usually take it with me. Amen. You didn't know that, did you? John Gabbard knows it. Ann Gabbard knows it. I forgot it and left it there one time. Amen. And I told him I'd forgotten, left my prayer pillow there. Amen. And the way I lay on my face before God, I lay on that pillow and pray and cry out to God. Amen. And with a pretty good fat pillow, I can lay my Bible in front of me and let God speak to me. And I can read and pray both. Praise God. And I thought, that's it. That's it. That's the way I've been building my fires. Praise God. I build it in my pillow. Amen. That's the way I set my message on fire. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the way I set my sermons on fire. That's the way I hear from God. Amen. I build a fire with my pillow. Hallelujah. For Brother Sheffy, it was a sheepskin. Amen. Well, amen. You may be thinking of Linus and his blanket, but I don't care how you do it. Amen. Praise God. Find you a place, hallelujah, to get on your face and get before God, hallelujah, and build a fire. Amen. And if you build a fire If I'll build a better fire in my pillows, praise God. Hey, glory to God, and get the fire to going a little hotter, you'll be able to tell the difference behind the pulpit. You'll feel it in my song. You'll feel it in my sermon. Amen. You'll see it shining on our face. Amen. The name of the Lord may be glorified in you. And you can usually tell, no matter what camp meeting you go to, if that man of God, amen, is breathing that pure fire that comes from the altar of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Then there's the destiny of the unworthy. I've been talking about the destiny of the worthy. Worthy of God's kingdom. Worthy of God's good pleasure. Worthy of God's goodness. The work of faith and power. The name of the Lord glorified in you. Amen. And I wondered out loud to Brother Butler why some seeming good preachers just never could quite make it. And this is the words the late C.M. Butler told me. He said, none of us can make it without God. We got to get a hold of God. There ain't no man can push you hard enough to put you over. There ain't no man can hold you down with enough chains. If you get a hold of God, you'll break the chains and rise above every stigma and hindrance. Praise God. You come out of the hold of the ship. Paul went in the ship, a slave, a prisoner in chains. And he came out with respect. Amen. So much respect that when the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, he said, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. The centurion took notice of Paul now. Amen. You get desperate enough, you'll be looking for a man of God after a while. There's a lot of folks don't take much stock in holiness preaching until they get up against it. And then they want the best, holiest, hardest preacher in the country to come and pray for them. Hallelujah. Ooh, they want somebody that can get a hold of God. Amen. Worthy of the work of faith with power. Worthy of the name of the Lord glorified in you. And then lastly, of the two destinies, the destiny of the unworthy. Listen to it. He said, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation. Now, folks, that's tribulation right here now. But it's also tribulation future. The wicked have tribulation to go into tribulation in. But the righteous, this is the worst we'll ever have to go through. If you just make it a few more days, it's going to get better after a while. Just a few more mornings, praise God, and it'll all be over. After a while, it'll all be over. After a while, the sun's going to shine. Amen. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance, the unworthy are going to come under the vengeance of God. You've never seen vengeance until God takes vengeance. Amen. Vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. They had a chance. They heard it. They had opportunity and obeyed not the gospel of the Lord. Amen. Ninth verse. Who shall be punished? Punished. Punishment is the destiny of the unworthy. What makes us worthy? Obeying the gospel. The gospel is, get under the saving flow of Calvary. Get saved. Get washed in the blood. Praise God.
If we don't get washed in the blood, all that waits us is punishment and everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Flaming fire, He said, taking vengeance on them. In closing tonight, I'd like for you to notice in the ninth verse, He said, everlasting destruction. When the earthquake came to Kobe, Japan, the Japanese officials had visited San Francisco that had the earthquake right during the World Series. And gigantic slabs of highway fell on top of the other highway, crushing vehicles as they rushed to their destination. They were stopped dead in their tracks, crushed by falling highways. The Japanese said it can't happen in Japan because we build buildings that will stand an earthquake. Just a couple of years later, in Kobe, Japan, an earthquake that lasted 20 seconds completely destroyed Kobe, Japan. The gas mains were bursted and the whole city caught on fire. Amen. The story in Reader's Digest about a man's wife was trapped and the fire was closing in, rushing down, gas fed by the construction of those almost paper houses. Amen. In Kobe, Japan. Amen. A son and his father struggled to get her free. Amen. And she insisted that they leave her. No, the father said. The son said, come on, we can't free her. We must escape. We can't get her loose. She insisted that they go. And they did. And they barely escaped with their lives the rushing flames of the fire of Kobe, Japan. Amen. The city was flattened by the earthquake and the fire that followed in its wake, fed by the gas mains that were bursting. Amen. But I'd like to tell you tonight that the fires have gone out in Kobe, Japan. Years later, amen, they have tried to rebuild the city, and I'm sure have made great headway in rebuilding the city. Amen. But when this everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord catches up with those that are caught on the wrong road, 1,000 years from now, the fire will still be burning. 10 million years from now, the fires will still be burning, and the souls will still be crying. Everlasting destruction. Oh, I know that Herbert W. Armstrong and the Jehovah's Witness and the Seventh-day Adventist, they preach what we call in fundamental circles and what Vince Wilson called short hell, that you just burn up and that's all there is to it. Amen. Even one so-called Pentecostal preacher went into that error late in life and interpreted the word everlasting to mean a period of time having an end. Then let me present to you the fact that the Bible promises everlasting life to the righteous. Is that a period of time having an end also? If heaven is everlasting, then hell is everlasting. Amen. If heaven's glory is everlasting, then hell's punishment is everlasting. Amen. I'd like to build a fire from God's altar tonight, wouldn't you? A spiritual fire, praise God. It'll burn out sin and dross in the world. Amen. And set my gaze and my attention upon heavenly things and get me started in the right direction, on the right road. Tonight, if you're on the wrong road, you have no one to blame but yourself. We are the generation that refuses to accept responsibility. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you.
whether you accept it or not. Amen. You're going to run right into it. Be careful. Amen. What you do. You're going to need help yourself after a while. Come on. Amen. As they get a song ready. A few years ago I went to Richlands camp meeting. And usually if David gets to me, he has me to stay at his house. Occasionally someone else will get to me and I'll stay with them. I've stayed with Mike, I've stayed with Ralph, I've stayed with members. Amen. But generally David will come around to me and he wants me to come to his house. And so I go, amen, humbly up to his mansion on the hill and stay with David. They was packed out this particular time that he told me to come and stay with him. The house was full of preachers. And so he fixed me way down at the end of the long hall in the family room, a big bed on top of something or other. And I had the whole suite to myself. Fireplace, amen, family room, whole thing to myself. But I forgot that when you rounded the bathroom, the hallway made a sharp turn to the left. I forgot that on the other side of that wall of the bathroom, mirror tile went clear to the ceiling. I went on down to my room and went to sleep. Woke up, amen, breaking day almost, and I thought I'll beat everybody to the bathroom and get my shower and get everything taken care of before everybody gets up. And I headed up that hallway and I saw somebody coming towards me in the gloom of the morning. I thought it must be Charles Barnett. His hair's kind of the color of mine. He's got a pair of trousers, same color of mine. Amen. I saw he was on a collision course. Amen. And so I zigged to the right and he zigged to the right. And I zigged to the left real quick to keep from running into him. And he zigged to the left. Amen. And then I put up my arm and my elbow to ward him off. I saw he's going to run right straight into me, and with so close I couldn't keep from running into him. And I felt so foolish when I ran into that mirror. I had run into myself at 5:30 in the morning. It's funny, but it won't be when somewhere down the road, 5, 10, 15, 20, however long it takes, you run into yourself and you realize, I'm reaping what I sowed. At 14 years of age, I made a decision for Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I did. I struggled with a few habits and a few things that tried to